That's all I know of.
I've heard it all my life. That's all I've ever heard
of that song. Amen. Well, I tried to play this last night, but I couldn't really see what I was doing. There's a possibility that might happen again. But you know, God's been good to me.
Amen.
I preached last night on a rise and go. One of my points was, the Lord laid on my heart that we need to rise and go, even if we're scared. Even if we feel like people are going to laugh at us, pick on us, persecute us. I make sure to tell them all those things were true. They are going to happen to you.
That's right.
But that's fine. Let them laugh. Let them joke. Let them pick around at you. I tell people all the time, my biggest critic is me. Believe it or not.
That's right.
Cole, she's definitely one of my critics, but she'll never be as hard on me as I am myself. Sort of kind of like my dear friend Brother Ken. I like to be a perfectionist. Then I realized one day that I would never be perfect at anything. But because of God's amazing grace, I'm made perfect in the eyes of God. And not because of what I do, because of what He does. So I'm going to try this morning. Y'all pray for me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that chapter number 1. Amen. I tell you what, This is kind of going to go along with our verse of the year, which is what?
Luke 10 and
27. Well, amen. Luke 10 and 27. Amen. Now, you know, going into the new year, I want you to think of what your biggest excuse was is in 2022. What your biggest excuse was. And I bet you a lot of times, if you really think, one of the biggest excuses you use, and according to myself that I use, and a lot of the church uses, is that I didn't have time.
Busy.
I didn't have time. And I want to look at that excuse today. But if we look what Paul writes here in Romans chapter number 1, he says in verse number 20, he says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through their lust, and of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and to worship and to serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Well, grace and Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come here today, dear Lord. Father, we ask, dear Lord, that you touch each family that's represented here today, Father God. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you continue touching the church, Father. We ask that you continue letting us drive and thrive in Christ Jesus, Father God. And as we wave that blood-stained banner, Father God, Lord, we ask, dear Lord, that you just touch us, Father. Touch all the sick in our church here this morning, Father God, Lord. And Father, we ask, dear Lord, that you make this year, Father God, such a wonderful year, such as last year was, Father God. For any time in you is wonderful and great and just so precious, Father. And we just are just so thankful for all that you do for us, dear Lord. And Father, we just ask, dear Lord, if there's one lost here today, Father, that you'll just touch them, Father God, and send the Holy Ghost to where they're at, Father, that they may come to know Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late, Father. Father, maybe there's one in the room today that's used several excuses, Father God, Lord, on things that they should have done but didn't do, Father God, Lord. We ask the Lord that you just touch their heart, Father. This shall be the year that they'll get up and do the things that you've asked them to do, Father. And we'll just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. People often use many excuses. And I know I'm no exemption, and you're no exemption. And me and Brother Eddie was kind of talking about this the other day when we was working on the waters, that we come from a working class. Our church is a working class church. Everybody in here has worked almost their entire life up to the age of the retirement or up to the age where they couldn't work anymore. And it's just like the workplace business, just like things that we do. There's always an excuse there. I can think of several as, "Hey, Josh, why wasn't you able to get that machine serviced the way you were supposed to today?" "I didn't have time." Or, "Chris, why wasn't you able to make sure that truck was serviced or whatever you work on up there at the asphalt company?" And a lot of times you'll look back and think, like, "Well, I just didn't have time to get to it today." Or I can ask Cole, I'm like, "Sweetheart, why ain't supper ready?" A lot of the time she'll tell me, "I haven't had time. I've been cleaning all day."
That's no lie.
Hey, just saying, amen. Oh, Brother Ed, I'm sure you've heard this before. When the concrete truck showed up a little late, said, "Hey, I was running behind. I was kind of running out of time." I bet you that makes you feel good about that, don't it?
Yeah.
But a lot of the times we hear that excuse in our lives. But Brother says, I'll tell you, it's deeper than that. That excuse is deeper than that. Paul just said we are without an excuse.
Right.
You have no excuses here today. And saying I didn't have enough time is not an excuse to God. God gave you enough time to do everything He commands you to do and everything He asked you to do. You have time. You're the one who loses track of your time. And I was only going to read verse 20, but those verses to me always go together, and I got to read them together. Because when you don't do the things God asks you to do, you are not glorifying Him as God.
Amen.
And I want to look at that too. Let's consider that phrase, I didn't have time. A lot of times in our Christian walk, we'll hear that I didn't have time to pray. Well, church, can I tell you right now, prayer is the most, it is a force. I'm talking about it is like dynamite exploding. It is something that you must do. But yet a lot of people say, I didn't just have time to pray. Oh, church, can I tell you, praying is something not to forget. Praying is a privilege. Praying is a command. Prayer is something that you have to do. And saying I don't have time is not an excuse. It takes no time at all to bow your head and say, Lord, I want to thank you for waking me up this morning.
Amen.
Lord, I want to thank you for my wife. Lord, I want to thank you for my husband. Lord, I want to thank you for my children. Lord, I want to thank you for my church. Oh, but yet as soon as we need something from Him, we remember, oh, I got to pray and ask for it. But yet when it came to being prayerful and thanksgiving, we just forget all about it. We don't consider it. We don't say, Lord, I just want to thank you for waking me up this morning. Lord, I just want to thank you, oh, for the food that you placed upon my table. Lord, I want to thank you for the family that you gave me. Oh, they ain't much. I ain't got much food on the table, but I just want to thank you for the little I do have. We get so busy. We get so caught up in everyday life that we forget how wonderful prayer is. It's something that no one can take away from you but yourself. Brothers and sisters, saying I don't have time to pray is not an excuse. Oh, I imagine how Daniel felt when he sat there and he opened his window towards the city of Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, caught in the very act of praying and tossed into a lion's den. It's because the power of those prayers that God protected him.
Amen.
That's why the lions didn't devour him. Now, Daniel could have said, well, I don't have time to pray. It's against the covenant for me to pray. And I guarantee you those lions would have tore him to shreds. But it's the power of prayer. We lack the power of prayer in our churches. We lack those saints of God that stay up all night weeping and crying and asking God to touch them, to touch their church, to save their lost loved ones, to allow them to be the one that God wants them to be. But yet we rather have those church members that say, I didn't have time to pray for you yesterday. I didn't have time. It slipped my mind. And I'm talking about we need to get some of those old prayer warriors and come down to the altar and get down on their knees. And when they got up, you see the tear drops flowing down the altar, amen, because they've been on the heavenly end of prayer.
Amen.
Oh, you didn't hear some of them old saints. I didn't see that daddy talk about some of them saints he'd see come down to the altar. And he's a little boy. They'd probably sit there, daddy, with no 2-3 minutes of prayer. Oh, I bet you they was down there for a while. I bet you they were crying. They was asking God to touch those. You know what happened, why we don't have those anymore? Because we lost the time to pray. We no longer care about praying. We no longer want to pray. But church, I want to tell you now, you are commanded. It's not an option. It's not something God tells you you can do. Prayer is a commandment given by God for you to do.
Amen.
And everybody wonders why their family's in such bad shape and bad conditions, and wonder why their wives and their husbands and their kids, their mama and daddy, sitting there wondering why their kids are running rampant. And when their kids get older, wonder why their parents all of a sudden just split up. But can I tell you something right now? It's because the family prayer has stopped.
That's right.
They always say if you eat of the family, you stay, right? I tell you right now, I know something greater than that. If you pray as a family, you'll grow stronger than you ever could around a dinner table. I told Cole one time, I said, we need to start setting time apart. Whether I work first, second, third shift sometime during that day, I said, we need to set time apart. Pray together. Church, I'm telling you now, I was guilty last year of not having time. I always prayed, but I forgot my family prayer. Now none of this is just sidetracking now. But we wonder why so many spouses fuss and argue and fight and fuss all the time. It's because they don't give time for God. They don't give time to come together, hold each other's hands, say, let's pray. Let's just thank God for having us here today. Let's thank God for giving us what we got.
Amen.
But yeah, we got time to find that excuse to say, I'm sorry, I got to run out the door, I overslept. I was supposed to be at work 20 minutes ago. Or maybe we forgot the very fact that she might be going through something I'm not going through and I don't know about it. And she wants to pray about it with me, but she don't want to tell me about it. That's that family prayer where we can grab each other's hands. We ain't even got to say a word out loud. But we can let the power of prayer flow through the house. How come I find time to be with each other in prayer?
Amen.
It'll help you out. Cole, you can write that down. We're going to start having family prayer. It's just something the Lord laid on my heart just now. Hey, I don't want to stand before God and tell Him I didn't have time to pray with my wife.
Amen.
I didn't have time to pray with my people at the church when they needed me. Or I didn't have time to stop and just to thank Him for how good He's been to me. Oh, church, to me, that's not an excuse at all. We got plenty of excuses we already back up on. But missing the power of prayer is not one of them that you should ever use. Oh, we wonder why our houses and our families are the way they are. Wonder why our school systems are the way they are. We wonder why America is the way that they are. It's because we did not find the time to seek the face of God in prayer. Let me tell you, God takes delight in the prayers of the upright. Church, you might say, well, I don't feel like I have the right to pray. Maybe I've been living a rough life. Maybe I don't feel like that God's going to hear me when I pray to Him. Church, I don't care what type of life you're living. I don't care how rough the road's been. You bow your knee down in humble prayer, I promise you, He will meet you there.
Amen.
Can't nobody stop Him from coming to you.
That's right.
The forces of hell, if you're His, the gates of hell, the forces of hell, once you bow down in prayer, cannot stop Him from coming to you or your prayers to reach the throne room of grace. Because brothers and sisters, of what Jesus done for us, I'm talking about what He done for me and what He done for you, gave us access to the throne room of grace. I like that song. Through many trials, toils, and snares, I have already come. I tell you what, if you'll find your time and get on your knees and ask God, amen, to help you out, and He'll help you there. And I'm tired of this. You know one thing? I know I'm getting stuck on prayer and I need to move on. There's one thing I realized, Brother Eddie. I could take one of them old saints. They couldn't barely walk from here to the floor right there. But you'll see them when they come. One thing I noticed, and I'm not picking on him, but I understand everybody has health issues. But one thing I realized is there's no more kneeling around the altar. There's a whole lot of standing. Church, if we want to get back to where we got to get down on our knees. Amen. If you need help getting up off the floor, ask. We'll get you up off the floor. I seen Bill Cooper. He had that, you're a witness to this, and most of you in the church are. He couldn't walk that good. Well, it's time for him to pray. To his knees. Because that's where we belong. Daddy bought a picture. He said, I remember as a little boy, my daddy, when he would go pray, he would sit with his hands in the floor with his head in the chair. And he'd sit there, and I'm mistaken, Daddy, you said when he got up, you could look in the chair and see where his tears had fallen upon that main altar for him. Church, we got to get back to prayer. You wonder why we're not seeing our lost loved ones saved? We wonder why our kids are running rampant? We wonder why they're doing what they want to do and not listening to you anymore? It's because you have gotten away from your prayer closet. You have forgotten to get on your knees before a holy God and ask Him to straighten something out.
You just can't straighten out yourself.
Amen. Church, there's power in humble prayer. There's power. Oh, God loves to hear from you. God loves to talk to you. God loves when you come to Him. The Bible says He already knows your very heart. But He loves when you come to Him in humble prayer. He loves when you get down and ask Him to help you out. But church, can I tell you one other thing on prayer before I move on? If you don't pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it don't make it past this ceiling. It don't make it past the ceiling of your home. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you'll ask it in my name, and it shall. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say it could. But He said it shall be given unto you. Oh, but we use the excuse, I don't have time to pray. We also use the excuse, I don't have time to assemble with the church. Oh, how many times have I heard I just didn't have time to make it this Sunday. But I had time to go do something else. I had time to do this. Or I just don't have time to assemble with y'all this week. The Bible teaches the commandment of the assembly of the saints. You do not have an excuse other than on vacation, because I'm one of them people, I believe everybody deserves a vacation. But look, there's not an excuse for you not to assemble with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. It is commanded. The Bible says, do not forsake it yourselves to what? Assemble. There's power when the local church comes together and assembles. There's power when we come together and pray together. There's power when we come together and worship together. There's power when we raise our hands up first thing on the morning and start praising the Lord. There's power in the assembly of the church. A lot of people like to stay home now. Watch it on the internet. They like to stay at home and say, well, I listen to services. Church, I'm telling you now, it is not the same, and it is not the same in the eyes of God for you to say you do not want to come to church. It is not biblical for a Christian to say, I'd rather be somewhere else. If you're saved by the God that saved me through the finished works of Jesus Christ, on Calvary's Hill, hell's gate cannot prevent me from going to church if that's where I want to be. If you're saved, you should want to be in church. If you're born again, you should want to be worshiping Jesus Christ when your church doors are open. I said it in the beginning of the service, we are a working class church. Everybody in this room, even our teenagers, amen, they're just starting off working now. Other than Jenny, I don't think she's working yet. Ross got her spoiled. But we live in the assembly of times where you have to work to make it. We've held revival meetings here at the church and nobody was able to get off. Did that stop us from coming and meeting with the Lord? No. We was in a revival meeting there, in fact, last year on a Thursday. There was 9 people in the church. And we had a shouting good time with the 9 or 10 people that was present. But church, can I tell you, if you was off work and you was just sitting at the house on the recliner, shame on you. Because when your church doors are open, you should be backing it. You should be assembling with it. You should not be using the excuse, well, I just didn't have time to make it. I don't care if you walk in 5-10 minutes late. Hello, have y'all seen half our church already? If we would start at 10:30, they still wouldn't get here until 10:45. And that's fine, because they're still assembling. Right. They're still coming in. They're still coming to worship. They're still wanting to be part of the fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to use Rocky for an example. Rocky can't eat absolutely nothing we ever have up there. But that does not stop him from going up the hill or standing out here and assembling in fellowship. Now, most of us like to get in our car and just take off and go home. Unless there's food involved. Tread lightly over here. Might upset some people. But there is nowhere on Sunday morning after church that you gotta be that you have to rush off. You have time to talk. You have time to fellowship. You have time to sit there and talk to somebody that might need to talk to you. But I ain't got time. I gotta go. Brothers and sisters, there might be one of your brothers and sisters in Christ that really needs to talk to you about something. Maybe they want to open up to you about something. Maybe they just want to discuss. You know, the Bible does say confess your faults one to another, right? That's what the Bible says, right? That we may pray, that we may work things out and get things right. You can't do that if you're not assembling. I know talking on the phone is fun, but I like talking to people face to face. It's so much easier. And one thing I can't stand, if you send me a text message, you better be very specific, because I do not know your attitude on that message. Other than cold. Believe me, I know everything. If she sends something, I know she's mad or not, because I know how she's worded. But church, ever since COVID happened, we have found excuse after excuse after excuse not to assemble anymore. I told them last night at fellowship, when we were sitting over there making our plates, and somebody mentioned the C word. And I said, well, I wasn't worried about it in 2020. I know I'm not worried about it now. But that has scared so many people. It has terrified so many people that they're like, I can't assemble anymore because I'm just terrified. But that's not even the excuse I'm talking about. There's ones who just say, I just don't have time. Or maybe they say, I just want to live. Or maybe they say, I didn't get to live. Maybe they say, I want to do this or I want to do that. I want to grow. Well, guess what? Grow in Christ and stop worrying about the world. Failure to meet with the saints brings discord consequences. It brings consequences for you to say, I don't want to go to church. There's consequences in saying, I don't want to assemble. There's consequences to say that I didn't have time to go to church because you did. One thing I don't understand, how does a man or a woman get up Monday through Friday at 7:30? On Saturday, they're up by 6:30. And on Sunday, they can't wake up until football comes on. Can you make that make sense to me? And then when you ask them, why didn't they come to church? They say, I just didn't have time. I wouldn't have time either if I slept at 1 o'clock. You can do everything else Monday through Saturday, but when it's time to assemble with the brethren, you rather neglect it and say, I'm not going. And don't get me started on Sunday nights. But failure to meet with the brethren brings consequences, church. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin and death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. If you know to assemble with your brothers and sisters in Christ is the right thing to do, and you do it not. What does James say? To him, it is a sin. Now, if you're sick, I'm understanding. I'm very understanding if you're sick. I understand if you got to work. We talked about that too, didn't we? If you got to work, you got to feed your family. But to use the excuse, I didn't have time, is wrong. To say I had other plans on Sunday that took you out of church, it's wrong. Because you had time to go do this, but you forsaken, as the Bible says, not to forsaken, you have forsaken yourself to assemble with your brothers. Because you didn't have time, but you had time to go do this. Just don't make no sense to me, Sister Susan. The Bible teaches it. And also, third, I need to hurry up. Y'all gonna get mad at me. Y'all hungry? I know I am. If you ever want a preacher not to be long-winded, just tell him there's food and he'll dial it down a little bit. Amen. But this one I hear a lot. They say, I don't have time to study God's Word. Well, I just didn't have time. You had time to watch TV. Had time to play on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram or whatever other thing is in this world that you get distracted by and lose track of what you're supposed to be doing. They say, I didn't have time to study today. I didn't have time to read. The Bible teaches us that we must read God's Word what? Regularly. We must study to show ourselves what? Approved. We must sit there and we must learn that the Scripture says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhort, to doctrine. Now, if you're not reading and you're not studying your Bible every day, how are you going to know when He's coming? He said, till I come. Brother Eddie, you know when Jesus is coming. Sister Sue, you know when Jesus is coming. So that means you should be reading this every day. You should be in this Word. You should be learning. You should be reading. You should be studying it. But yet we neglect it because we have our cell phones. We have our computers. We have our TVs. We have our tablets. There's so many distractions in this world that makes us realize that, hey, I don't have time to read my Bible. I ran out of time. Well, church, I tell you this much right now. There's some times I go lay down on my bed and I try to go to sleep at night and the Holy Spirit comes along and says, hey, did you pick your Bible up today? I sit there and think about it. He said, how about we go to sleep? Get on up. If not, it's going to be a long, long night. Long night. Believe me, when he tells you to go read it, you might as well get up and go read it. I'm talking about, but we have all these excuses of why we didn't read our Bibles. And I'm talking about, we'll just make them, brother. We just say, well, I have time to study. I have time to read. And by the way, those are two different things. Reading and studying are two different things. Mm-hmm. I ain't had time to read it. I ain't had time to study it. I think the Bible says that, and those words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Now, how are they supposed to be in your heart if you're not reading and you're not studying? How are they supposed to be there if you're not meditating on them? You see, this book, there's three things you need to do with it. First off, you need to read it, then you need to study it, then you need to meditate on it. It's something that constantly keeps working in your life, but yet We always like to say, I didn't have time. I want to ask you something right now. I want you to think last year how many times you missed your Bible read because you simply just didn't do it. And then you use the excuse when somebody asks you, have you read your Bible today? Or yesterday, you said, you know, I forgot, I didn't have time. But if we pull your phone out, we go to this little display page that shows what you done all day, it'll say you was on it all day long. Now, I personally am not for the Bible on the cell phone. But if my Bible is at the house, and I'm sitting at Procter & Gamble, I do have one in my book bag. The church bought me one a long time ago, a little Schofield hardback Bible I keep in my book bag for work. But if I'm not near my book bag, it's all the way over in the team room. Yes, sometimes I get lazy and I'm not walking all the way over to the team room to grab it. I grab my phone now and I go, and I get to reading. Does it feel the same? No, it doesn't. But it's still, I found time on that device that distracts us through all other things to read my Bible. That's called using something evil for good. But I'd rather have this old black Cambridge book in my hand, flip it open to where I want to be at, and sit down and let these pages speak to me. Because I don't have an excuse not to do it. I said them last night, the first 2 weeks I was learning to play the guitar, I started playing with it so much, church. I started picking with it so much that I neglected my studies. I told somebody last night, somebody ever going to preach on me doing something wrong, I done beat them to it. I said, I neglected my studies. I set that guitar back in its case. I closed it up. And I said, I don't care if I ever learn to play it, if it's going to pull me away from my Bible.
Amen.
If it's going to pull me away from my prayer call, if it's going to pull me away from studying and reading the Word of God, I don't want it. I got very little free time, y'all. Y'all might not believe that, but I got very little. You can ask my wife, she'll tell you. I got very little free time. And in that free time, I try to jam a bunch of stuff in there. Spending time with my wife. Saturdays, you better not ask me to do nothing. That's Cole's day. Unless it's an emergency, that's Cole's day. And at the end of the night, you can ask. At the end of the night, she'll say, baby, I'm going to bed. I'll go in the office. I'll grab my Bible. I'll come back out and I'll sit in the living room. And I'll start finish preparing for today. And she might not see me again until the next morning, Sister Susie. I might fall asleep on the couch. But church, we have no excuse to say we did not have time to study our Bibles. I know there's a million other things in this world you got to do. But one thing that you're commanded, one thing you need to start if you're not, is you need to get into the Word of God and you need to study it. I'm not going to tell you to read it cover from cover, even though I know I need to finish doing it, and some of you probably already done it, but you need to sit in this book and you need to read it. Every time I try to read it through, the Lord sends me, I'll start in Genesis. By the time I'm done with it, I'll be over there in Revelation somewhere reading about something and studying about it. It just happens. But church, you have no excuse not to read your Bible. You have no excuse to say, I got to go. Brother Andy, you work about, I don't know if you work 60, 70 hours anymore.
Nope.
But you always found time to read your Bible. At times. I know Miss Amy, she sets an alarm clock that says Bible time. It's like Brother Eddie and myself. It may have been times where that alarm went off and she had to flip it up because she didn't have time. Church, we got to make time.
Amen.
We got to make time. There's been times that I know that I walked into mom and dad's and I seen mama try to read the Bible. Daddy starts telling him to go get me something to drink, or Daddy tells him to go fix me something to eat, or Daddy does something, and she has to put it down. But that don't mean you can't go back to it. You got to find time to read your Bible. I got two more points, and I'm just going to tell you what they are. A lot of times we hear that I don't have time to take care of the needy. I didn't have time to do that. Church, we're commanded to take care of the needy. We're commanded to help, to feed, to do those things for people. I know in the world we're living in, it's already hard enough to get everything we got to get done in a day. But if the Bible commands it, that means it's important. And yes, we are commanded to take care of the needy. We are commanded to take care of the poor. We are commanded to help those out that are in need. Our verse of the year is a verse that starts out with the lawyer asking, what's going on? Jesus said, what readest thou? There it is again. Important to read your Bible. Because somebody asks you, well, how do you read it? And you ain't never read it before. It's going to be kind of hard for you to answer the question, all right? Important to read your Bible. And he tell him, he said, hey. He said, I've done everything that you asked me to do. He said, look, he said, and he answered him and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind and with all and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live.
That's right.
He said, do it, and you shall live. But this man was so intrigued of tripping Jesus up and getting him to answer something the way he wasn't supposed to answer that he said, well, Let's just take a look at it. But willing to justify himself, and he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" He just said, "Look, who is my neighbor, brother?"
Everybody don't live in your house.
Facts. Everybody. I don't care. I live in Reasonable. Amy lives all the way over yonder on this dead end road in the boondock. Oh, there's a bunch of cows around her, but she's my neighbor.
That's right.
Susie and Eddie live in the middle of nowhere where you don't have phone service. They're my neighbors. But church, we are commanded that when we see those in need, to help them.
Amen.
The I don't have time excuse has to stop. Because you have time. If you see somebody in need, you help. One of my favorite ones is, well, Sunday I'm not doing nothing. If you call me and need my help on Sunday, and it's an emergency, it's my job and my duty as your brother and sister in Christ, whether you're saved or not, or even just anybody, my neighbor, it's my job to go help you. Daddy said it last week. He said, I'm not in the best of shape. But he says, an elderly person called me right now and tell me that their heat and air went out and they need heat and air. He said, I'd do everything I could to crawl down there and fix it for them. And you know he ain't getting back up on his own.
We're going to have to go with him.
That's right. But this one right here is the one that I probably should have got to a little sooner this morning. How many of you ever had said, I didn't have time to share Christ with the lost? The Bible teaches that Jesus came into this world to seek and to save those which was lost. The Bible teaches that Jesus came from his heavenly throne, laid in a manger, lived 33 and a half years, died on a Roman cross, was buried in a virgin tomb, arose again the third appointed day, ascended up into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit unto us, and brothers and sisters, we can't take 2 seconds of our day to tell somebody that Jesus died for them, that he arose for them, and he's coming back for you. Yeah. And you better be ready. But we'll say, well, I just didn't have time. When you stand before God, I'm telling you this morning, that will not be an excuse. You cannot stand there with blood running on your hands and say, I didn't have time. I told them last night, there's been some people that I should have witnessed to that I don't know was saved or not, Brother Eddie. They do the fact that maybe I was scared or maybe I was just busy and running rapid. I said, I'll stand before God on that judgment. Everybody thinks that the judgment seat of that when Jesus comes back, it's going to be all happy, fun and games at first. It's not. We're going to stand before Him. And if those people died in their sins because of my fearful state or I was busy, I'll stand before God and I'll look down at my hands and I'll see their blood running on them. Church, nobody wants that feeling. But if I dare to say this morning, every single one of us has been in that situation.
Amen.
To where I need to tell you about Jesus. Or maybe Jesus laid it on your heart and said, hey, tell that man about me. Tell him about me. And you say, I know I got time, I got to go. And when you get to your car, it's all of a sudden something like just hits you. Unlined the face, it hits you right in the heart. To where you sink down in your seat. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't think I had time. Maybe He'll give you another opportunity to witness to Him again. You never know. But take that time. Every time me and Cole go visit our old friends, I always ask. I usually don't get out of the car. But I always ask. I say, did you invite them to church? When she talks to her mom and daddy, I say, did you invite them to church? Mama and daddy, when you talk to your siblings, do you invite them to church? When you talk to your children, even during the week, do you invite them to church? Do you ask them? Do you ask them? Or do you tell them how good Jesus has been to you? Sometimes that's all it is just to tell somebody how good God's been to me this morning. He's been good to me.
Amen.
He saved me. He brought me out of the depths of hell. He made me a prince. And a king and an heir. How many of you can say that? Well.
Amen. Oh, I'm going to try that again. You ready?
He made me a prince and a king and an heir. How many of you can say that?
Amen.
There we go. I like that. Someone would have hit him in the car on the way home. But I'm telling you, we got to find that time. You got to find that time. To say I didn't have time. It's not an excuse to God.
Amen.
What if that preacher would have said, I ain't got time to show up that morning. The day you were saved.
Amen.
Said, I just don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to pray today. I don't have time to study. I don't have time to stop by. Because let me tell you, when you was lost, you was one of those needy people. When you was poor, you was undone.
That's right. Amen.
What if he would have said, I'm done, I'm not going to show up, I can't make it today. Unless it's in God's plan, like Charles Spurgeon.
That's what church is. Glad he was there.
Charles Spurgeon's preacher couldn't make it to church this day. It was snowing too hard. An old janitor sitting back in the back of the church and he said he snuck in to get warm and sat down. He said the preacher couldn't make it. He had sent word that he couldn't make it. That janitor said, okay. That janitor got up, got behind the pulpit, and he preached on out of the book of Isaiah. I don't remember what chapter, I don't remember what verse. It says in the documentary. Or first he said by the time he was done, he had met the Savior. What if that janitor would have said, it's not my job. I don't have time. I got to finish cleaning. We would have never had the Prince of Preachers. Hey, you never know who God's going to use in your life. Maybe you sit there today and say, it's the way He could use me like that. Don't you underestimate what God can do in your life.
That's right. Amen.
Find the time to pray. Find the time to read, study, and meditate your Bibles. Find the time to give and help out others. Find the time to go and do the things that God wants you to do. And stop using the excuse, I don't have time. And most importantly, I don't know if y'all took anything out of this. But most importantly, find the time to pray with your family.
Amen.
Bring the family prayer back to your home. If you don't want to pray out loud, hold each other's hands and just get there and get to praying. If you start crying, just let it go. We was at the meeting last night, and I went and sat with Cole during the prayer service. And I heard the preacher start praying, and when I looked up, he had all these people he could have went to. But Brother Eddie, you know who he went to? He went and he knelt down behind his bride. He took his hand and he placed it upon her back. And you were talking about feeling the power of prayer flow throughout the church. You could feel it. That's the power of family prayer. That's the power of getting together and praying together. If you want to even incorporate reading your Bible some together. But that's the power of God at work. But us as Christians, rather use the excuse, I didn't have time. Today, you may be guilty.
If I dare say the truth, I'm an honest preacher. Like I said, nobody's ever going to preach on anything about Joshua Cook that Joshua Cook ain't preached on himself. There's been times in my life where I said, I don't have time. Or I didn't have the time to do that. Or I didn't have the time to go and witness. Daddy called me one week and asked me four times to go with him to visit somebody. We ended up finding out why the Lord didn't want me to go, but each time I said, Daddy, I just don't have time. Daddy said he got to praying about it. He said, you know, he said, I didn't think about this, but he said, sometimes bringing the preacher along with you becomes a little overbearing. But you still had a job to do, didn't you? Can I tell you something right now? Most people don't come to church because the preacher invites them. Most people come to church because their friends or their family invited them. Don't use the excuse that I didn't have time to tell somebody or invite somebody to the church. More importantly, tell them about Jesus because they might not never make it inside these four walls. Maybe you're guilty today saying, I've not been praying the way I'm supposed to pray. Because I ain't have time. Maybe it's the distractions of the world. Maybe it's that old cell phone or that TV you like to watch so much. Saying, I ain't have time to pray. It took me away from reading my Bible today too, because it took you out of prayer. There's a big chance it took you out of reading your Bible too, right? You say, I just didn't have time. I'm pretty sure I've used that excuse too. How many of you passed by a brother or sister in need or your neighbor in need and said, I ain't got time to help him today. Just kept on booking it. Or received a phone call, hey, I need your help. And you know you got some time, but you say, I don't know if I'll have the time, or I didn't have the time. Or it slipped your mind. They call you the next day, and what do you say? I just didn't have time to make it today. Let's just be honest with each other. We've all used all five of those excuses. Not only in our lives, but we probably used them in the last couple weeks. We probably used them in the last couple days. We probably used them a bunch in our lifetimes or even last year. I even forgot one excuse. I personally could say I haven't used this one this year. I don't have time to go to church. I haven't used that one this year. I think that's why I forgot about it. Because I'm not using that one. Last year, man. But everybody can say they ended here this morning can say they didn't make that excuse this year. But let's get away from the excuses this year. Let's love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Let's love our neighbors. Let's do the things we're supposed to do. Let's pray for each other. Let's ask God to give us what we need this year that we can continue going forward in our lives and doing the things that the Lord wants us to do. And the only way we can do that is to hit our knees, ask God to help us out, because you ain't going to do nothing on your own but make more excuses. One more and I promise I'm going to stop talking to you.
How many of you ever had somebody around you that you didn't like? And you just turned cold soda and walked right on out the way. Using the excuse, I don't want to talk to that person because I don't like them. We was in Walmart in Danville. I had one guy that hates the very being of me, walks in while we're walking out, looks right at me. I smile, nod my head, and say, hey, threw his nose on, and kept on walking. I get in my car, I look at my rearview mirror, he's walking behind my car. I said, Cole, I said, I don't know, he just walked in, now he's walking out with nothing. Maybe he's on me. Hey, that guy does not like me. That's just the truth. Do you know why he don't like me? Because I told him the truth. I told him, you are dead in your trespasses of sin. And if you die in your sins, you will die and go to hell.
You just gotta pray for him.
And that's all I can do. And if you don't like me because I tell you the truth, you're not going to hurt my feelings. But I will still wave at you. And I will say hi to you when you go by me. That's just the type of person I am.
And pray for him.
I ask you today, if you want to come, to come.